Thank you for inviting me to come and talk to you today. Really appreciate it. So I'm Helen Merrick. I'm one of the Trust Health Inequalities and Partnerships Managers. I formerly sat in public health as a public health events officer. And I'm talking to you today about our public health bus, which I still have some involvement in, but I have stepped back a little bit from the project, but just good opportunity to come tell you a bit more. So I can give you a bit of the history to start off with. So we basically procured the vehicle because historically public health used to hire out vehicles. So they used to pay external services to use their health vehicles. And I don't know how much people know about the costings around that, but it was averaging about £250 to £300 a day. So it was quite a lot of money for the trust. So I think that was the kind of historic reason for wanting to procure the vehicle. The initial aims for procuring the vehicle were to increase the visibility of a wide range of public health services, to increase activity within key target groups. So when we say activity, we mean kind of behavioural changes, those sorts of activities. So that was one of the main aims of having the bus, and also to offer more accessible and diverse options to access care for client groups. So basically a more mobile method of delivering services, so taking the services to people rather than relying on people to come to us. So that's the kind of context around it. The point at which I came into the project, so I was recruited after we'd procured the bus, so we'd already purchased it, it was already on its way, but I came in right in the middle of the pandemic, so that was an interesting time to join. And it became quite obvious that there were going to be some issues. We did iron out a lot of the initial issues. Some of them were just, you know, unforeseen delays. So things like, actually, you have to register new vehicles with DVLA, and because of the pandemic, things like that, it really delayed us getting it. But eventually we got the vehicle. It was delivered to us, and myself and my line manager at the time, we received the vehicle, and I think it was just being really honest, I think it was a sort of feeling of horror, because when we got it, we were like, oh no, this is not going to work for our services. And at that point, it was like, what do we do? What do we do? We've bought this vehicle, and how are we going to make this suitable for our services? So after the initial panic, we basically said, right, okay, we actually need to sit down, look at this, and decide how we're going to make this a workable bus, because we bought it, it's ours. So that was sort of the very first point at which we thought about, actually, okay, maybe we need to look at some quality improvement here. How can we actually improve this so that it is going to work for the services that we have? So part of that process was initially meeting with all of the services within public health to find out what their needs were, because there's no point. We just thought there is absolutely no point proposing all these changes if it's not going to work for services. So that was the kind of very much first point, collecting kind of baseline around what do services need, what are you going to use the vehicle for, also showing services the vehicle to kind of go around, do a walk around and work out, okay, what's working for you, what's not working for you. So we made some initial changes on the back of that. So yeah, so basically what we did was, so after I sort of met with services, I actually realised we're going to need a lot of other service input here. So I worked with a lot of other services across the trust, because I was thinking about every aspect to do with the bus. Because basically we wanted to sort of do it once so that it was ready to go, rather than having to keep going, let's make this change, it's not working, let's make that change, it's not working, and have to kind of keep revisiting. So after I met with our services in public health, I also had a meeting with health and safety, also met with sustainability, also yourselves. I had some early meetings with yourselves. We looked at equality and diversity, and also met with the comms team and infection prevention and control. And basically what became apparent was, okay, we need to kind of keep people in the loop about what changes are happening as well, because we're getting a lot of questions from people around, okay, is the bus usable now, can we take it out? And I was getting like lots and lots of emails. So what I did was we set up a bus working group to discuss the proposed changes, and so that they could keep their services informed about what was happening with the bus. Obviously, because we're a public health sector provider, we had to think carefully around, okay, what changes do we absolutely have to make now, what ones can we make in time, and also being flexible. So yeah, it'd be great to throw loads of money at something, but actually, you know, we've got to look for best value, we've got to look at the most impactful, and also safety had to be paramount. So there are a few things that we had to change straight off the bat, like the stairs were a massive issue. Not to go into massive detail about that, but we had to get those changed just because they weren't compliant with our health and safety guidance. So that was an absolute no. So we had to do that first. And then also one of the key considerations that I wanted to think about, which is very much kind of where some of the quality improvement modelling came in, was around thinking about, okay, we're going to make these changes, but how do we kind of future-proof the vehicle? So one of the things that obviously was a key consideration at the time is because it was right in the middle of the pandemic, obviously we had social distancing in place, also you had to have ventilation, and we didn't have that because our window that was in the back of the bus didn't open. So it's just practical things like that. It was like, okay, we could keep the window as it is, but if we made an opening one, if say we found ourselves in a similar pandemic or something happened again, it meant we could sort of use it still, because that was another thing. As soon as social distancing and that came in, we couldn't use the bus, which was obviously a big no-no for us. So yeah, some of those changes that we had to think quite creatively around those. What else can I tell you? So the other thing,
Ellen, just let me know.
Oh yeah, thank you. So one of the other things actually that came up as sort of unexpected was a lot of services. Obviously, we procured this vehicle and everybody was really excited, but one of the things that came up as a massive barrier for us was actually staff being willing to drive it. I think there was, unfortunately, just this bit of this assumption that staff would be happy to drive it, and that was certainly not the case. That is not what I found. So we ended up, as one of our sort of key changes, we put in for a bid for some additional funding from Kent County Council for some support staff. And actually, even that turned out to be really difficult. So we put out to recruit for a full-time member of staff who would drive the bus and also attend events and set it all up. And I was quite surprised. I think it was the third round of recruitment that we weren't successful, and we just sort of had to sit back and think, why are we not being successful with this? And at that point, I did a lot of meetings with other external services that use buses. So I don't know if anybody knows about them, but Kent Association for the Blind, they have a bus that goes around. Their bus is called Iris, which I love. But they, I met with them and they said, actually, people found that was too much responsibility to do the event, to drive and all of that in one. So I then went back to KCC and said, how would you feel if we split this into bank roles? So we would have like bank drivers and then bank outreach workers. And as soon as we did that, we got much better sort of people that fitted the right criteria. They were what we were looking for. And I was really pleased with how that worked. And also because we recruited them on a bank basis rather than full time, the funding's actually lasted us a lot longer. So it has had so many benefits doing it that way. And a lot of people actually were really surprised, but the people that came forward, a lot of them didn't want full-time hours because it fitted around if they were semi-retired, or we've got one lady and she already works for the trust. She only wants to work weekends. So it was ideal for us. So that was like a really good change that we made, and it's had real, it's really paid off, that one. So bear with me one second, sorry. Mm-hmm. So that's the kind of measure and the results section. So in terms of the specific changes, obviously I've mentioned about staffing already, but some of the very practical changes that we made in terms of the vehicle, we've done things like it's really difficult. I should have put some pictures up to show you properly, but anyone is welcome to have a bus visit. But we did things like we changed the desks in the bus so that you could fold them down. So that actually helps with maximising floor space. Part of the reason we did that was when I worked with health and safety, we almost sort of did a walk around with a wheelchair, and it became very apparent that the gap between the desk and the sink wasn't big enough for a wheelchair. So it then made it completely inaccessible. So just by folding down the desk, it meant we had more floor space. Also, I had some input from health visiting, and they said a lot of mums don't like to leave their buggies outside, and that would be a massive barrier to them using the bus. So we were like, well, if we fold down the desk, they can bring their buggy on board. So actually, although it to us it's like, oh, it's not a big thing, actually that was quite a big change, and that's been really positive. I mentioned the steps before. This is the third set of steps we have now, but what we did to make sure we got those right was we actually measured the weight of them. So for staff manual handling, so we actually measured those with the vehicle maintenance company. We actually went up there, health and safety, Alice from health and safety went up there with me, and we did that. We also got them boxed in, because I spoke to school health and they said if they've got small children, if you've got them boxed in, it helps to avoid injuries. And they're good, they're great now. We also got some storage space put onto the bus because it's a small space, so it's got to kind of work for everybody. And we do keep some equipment on the bus now, just basic stuff, nothing fancy, but it basically means that services don't have to be carting equipment to and from the bus. It's basically set up for them to use just like it would be a clinic. And then in terms of kind of some of the other changes to do with the bus, we created some risk assessment templates. A lot of services we spoke to, they were saying a major barrier to them actually using the bus was all the kind of thought around the paperwork side. So assessing venues, you know, putting together a comprehensive risk assessment. So I worked with health and safety around that, and we've actually still used those templates, and they've been really good. They've been really helpful. So got that. We've also, we're just in the process of moving the bus onto top desk. So we've got a form that we had on the bus page, and we got loads of feedback from services saying, it's really clunky, it's really long, I don't want to fill it out. So we took that feedback on board. So we're currently putting it onto top desk, which I think will make a big difference. Oh, this was an interesting change. So when we first got the bus, we'd spent quite a lot of time and money into sort of planning the outside imagery and what was going to be on the outside of the vehicle, but we actually didn't do anything with the inside. So when we first got the bus, it was like a white box inside. And I had a few people that I invited for visits, and everybody said, it's too clinical. It's way too clinical, and I wouldn't want to get on that. And so we really listened to that. And what we did was, we've got like a public health leaflet that's got all our public health services on. And we thought, well, why don't we have that on the inside? Because then it marries up with our resources. So we actually now have images on the inside that are all kind of reflective of the services we've got in public health. We also put an engagement advert up there. So forever looking for sort of people to help us with engagement, the details of our engagement team in public health are on there, so that was really helpful. And then I can't remember who it was, but somebody suggested putting up some clip frames for posters, so we also put those on the bus, and we actually use those quite smartly now. So if we know the bus is going out to a certain area, we actually change the posters for ones that are suitable for that area, just to kind of a bit of extra marketing, or you know, to recruit people onto programs, that kind of thing. So I mentioned about the window, so I won't bore you with that one. This was the key change that we made. So One of the other changes that we made was when we first got the bus, it had a generator in terms of power. You could plug it in, but it wasn't lasting very long. So you'd have to rely on power from a generator. And I don't know how much people know about generators, but ours was a petrol one, and they're actually very volatile. They can be high risk. Also, staff confidence around using them, it's a bit of a nightmare. So I actually worked with Dan from Sustainability, and we put in a funding bid to Greener NHS, and we were successful with that. So we now have solar panels on the bus. And it's really great, actually. You take the bus out and it only goes down a few percent, even if you're there all day. So that's a huge saving for us. And also it means that the bus is less polluting. It's got less of a carbon footprint. So it's win-win, really. We've got an events calendar that we set up for all our bus bookings. A lot of people are asking us about where the bus was going, what it was doing. So we set that up. We do include sort of general events as well, so that we can kind of think about, you know, whether it would be suitable to take it to certain events. And we share that externally and internally now, which has been really great. And we've had a lot that's kind of built month on month. So that's been really good. And then this was another one.
Helen, would you say that's now fully utilised? Do you have a lot more bookings now?
We do have a lot more bookings. So one of the challenges, that's a really good question. One of the challenges that was unexpected, which has come on the back of this, is we've started getting clashes now in terms of bookings. So that's our new challenge at the moment, is we didn't have the bus being used at all, and now everybody wants to use it.
So you've solved your initial problem of we have a bus that everybody wants to use.
So we've got a new...
We're oversubscribed, right?
Yeah, lovely. But we're trying to... That's all right. But we're at the moment, what we're trying to do is I spoke to Katie, who now oversees the vehicle, and we're going to re-establish the working group as a task and finish group. And one of the goals of that is to set the criteria for what to do if we get a clash, because what we're trying to do is, OK, somebody might have a booking, but if something else comes in that they're likely to see more people, they're likely to see people more within the target audience that we're looking for, then, you know, we would probably give. Yeah. So that's a new challenge for us. But that's what we're currently looking at. And then we're also thinking forward. We're looking at how do we now evaluate the bus? So very much like you were saying, how well utilised is the bus? We want to kind of make sure, are we reaching the right people? Who's been seen on the bus? You know, how can we make this better? So what I did was I spoke to Leslie Tune, who does all like the surveys across the trust. And she helped put me in touch with people so that the bus is now a location code on the patient data systems. So basically, if a service wants to use the bus, if they put it as a location code, we can then extract that data. So it's really handy because it means they don't have to fill out extra paperwork, and we can just log in and pull off that data for ourselves. So it's really helpful. And we mentioned that in our bus induction training so that people know that that's a thing. So, yeah, so we've got that. So we've done that. I promise I've nearly finished. And the last change that was a good one for us was we had some feedback from the COVID team who used it. And they said, do you have, and I'm using air quotes, do you have an idiot's guide for the bus? And I said, well, what do you mean by an idiot's guide? And they said, actually, it'd be really helpful to have a guide around, you know, how do you use different parts of the bus, putting photos in there of how each bit of the bus works. Because although we do a bus induction, you know, people go away, there's a weekend in between or something, and then they've forgotten. So that was really good. So we did that as well. I will summarise the lessons learned a bit more succinctly. But so basically there was a lot that we learned from this process. And although initially, like I said, it was full on panic mode, actually, it really has had a lot of positive impact. And one of the things that I did as I went along was I created a lessons learnt document, which we've now put into an advice document for anyone who's procuring a health vehicle. So in future, we can kind of save other services time and help them think about kind of key considerations just to kind of stop this happening again. Not that it was particularly awful, but obviously it did take more time. It did cost more resources, but we just wanted to make sure that we learnt from this and very much thinking about how do we improve it next time.